Trials of Apollo, The Dark Prophecy, Chapter 29. Carrot peeling god. Tofu stir fry is so good, but needs...
Hi, I'm Ava.
I'm Neve.
And I'm Brayden.
And this is Return to Camp Half-Blood, the English class that you always wanted.
Where we analyze the Percy Jackson and Heroes of Olympus books through a new theme every week.
The Terses had talent for making friends. Half the crowd searched forward to kill him, the other half shouted they, too, wanted to kill him, and the first half should get out of their way.
That's, like, probably how you pronounce that word. Good job.
Thank you.
I would have no idea.
There was a long dramatic pause that I will edit out. trying to decide how to pronounce it, or if I was going to dare, but we did it.
Yep.
We accomplished it. Egg boy up. I think.
Yeah.
I hope. If I recall, that's how they said it on the audiobook. Mm. So if it's wrong, someone else fucked up.
Exactly.
It wasn't me. Not my fault. Ava, Neve, how are we?
Crazy and different. I don't know. I'm doing well. I am in my new apartment post-move in Chicago. It's super weird. It's also really weird being on a different time zone. I'm just, my entire life I've been on Eastern Standard Time. And, like, I'm being dramatic. Like, it's an hour difference. But, like, whenever I, like, chat with anyone, or even scheduling this episode, we were like, this hour your time or my time. Like, it was so weird. I've just never had to really deal with that. But it's a really nice city. I really like it. I'm having a good time, but getting accustomed has been interesting. Went to a farmer's market this morning though. So that was super cool. Yeah. Neve?
I'm good. Also the same. It's crazy. We have moved and we are here. But I've been having a lot of fun so far, and we also went to a farmer's market yesterday, though. It was very nice. Actually, it was, like, so much more robust than we were expecting. Same. We were expecting, like, just, like, a normal farmer's market, and there was, like, we didn't even get to everything that was there. But it's been fun so far. It's been fun to be, back out on my own, which is nice, and not living in my family, in my childhood bedroom. Always nice to not be there. And we found a good Irish bar in walking distance from our apartment, which is super important. And it's very exciting. Very exciting. Looking for waitressing jobs, which is thrilling. But I always need more money. So hopefully one of them comes through. How are you, Brayden?
I am good as well. It's very similar update because Eve and I are living together. So
for all of you on the podcast who listened to our podcast who thought that he hated me, he did move in with me. So now no matter what he says, no matter how annoyed he acts, we do live together.
Yeah. So I have now been roommates with both the people on this podcast.
Wow.
Which is crazy.
That is crazy.
It's been good. I started a new job this week.
Woo!
And it's going really well. I'm really loving it, which I'm sure is refreshing for you all to hear from the complaining about working at Cinemark that I did all summer. But now I'm working a real adult job and being a real adult in an apartment.
Cinemark is right around the corner from us and the movie theater that we go to, though, so it haunts you.
Yeah, it'll always be forever. There. So
that's funny. That's very funny.
With that, welcome back to Return to Camp Half-Blood. This week, we are discussing The Trials of Apollo, The Dark Prophecy, chapters 29 through 32, through the theme of absolution. Ava,
Would you like to? Like, she has a choice.
Yeah, no, it's not optional, but I thought I would phrase it in a kind way.
Right, yeah.
So,
Oh my God. Okay. So Georgina is there and they're talking at the way station about like, is Georgina actually one of Apollo's daughters? Question mark. Are they related? Whatever. They spend a lot of time talking about that. And, they meet, this, deity that Apollo had not known before. His name's, Alojime, I think. And Apollo's like, damn, are you single? And he's like, no. And then the heir of Dodona is like saying the funniest shit ever. And Leo and Calypso are like, we actually might want to go to high school and like stay at the way station together. And I'm doing so poorly. Oh my God, I have 5 seconds. And, that's about it, I think. And then something else happens, but I am not going to get there.
Yeah, you are out of time.
Okay, that felt extra fast this time.
I mean, the biggest thing is you kind of just got like the last 4 pages of like the
Yale. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It what
Yale, yeah.
The last chapter is, I mean, they're in the car. He gets pulled over, I guess. There were a lot of like small little things
Leo
happened.
Stole a car for sure.
Leo stole a car. I just was not about to be able to summarize all of the Yale stuff. So I was like, yeah. I don't. Yeah.
The Yale stuff was interesting, but real side quest there.
Yeah.
And then they drink the water.
Endangered animals.
Yeah. Mm.
Making a commentary on endangered animals.
Yeah. So, you know, what songs? Music. 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 What song is that?
I don't know.
Is that four minutes? Madonna and Justin Timberlake? Is that music? Music?
I didn't know that was a song.
So, yeah. I don't think so.
It's a Madonna song, I think.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, it's music. Come together. Yeah. What song is Oh, is that the one with Britney? I think it's
I actually know that.
Oh, it is Madonna. It's just it's just Madonna. Why did I think it was her and someone else? Music. What's the Madonna and Britney song? Me Against the Music. Is Madonna and Britney, but
that I don't know.
Is what I was talking about. Music, yeah. Music.
Against the Music.
It's me.
Much different tone.
And me. Madonna. All three of those songs do sound very similar, though.
They do.
I think all music at the time kind of sounds
like that.
So,
the 2000s were not an extremely creative era when it came to music.
Yeah, pretty basic.
They were all bangers, so it's fine.
Yeah.
What songs do we have that actually relate to what we're doing, though?
It doesn't relate. Oh, wait, what were you saying?
Oh, I was going to say mine, but if you're ready to go, you're ready to go.
Go for it, Brayden.
Mine is Cassiopeia by American Trees.
I knew it was coming.
Because it is about the joy of like living life and going on a journey, but like not knowing really what you're doing.
Yeah.
And that reminded me of Leo and Calypso.
Yeah. Oh.
It's like, the like refrain is like being ignorant together, chasing Cassiopeia. And I was like, yeah, I love that.
Ouch.
Ouch. Well, taking that theme and completely making it sadder, The Archer.
Ooh.
Mostly because I've been listening to it a lot, which like maybe my
are you
it's such a good song. Like I haven't been like rotating it like every day, but like I have like just been appreciating how good of a song it is, and I feel like it's everyone in this whole series, but it's really Calypso. And I felt like it was like just a good way to like this kind of seems like the close of her arc for this book, even though we do have a good amount of chapters left. So maybe something else will happen. But like this decision seems to be like a good close of this arc that she's had of like not knowing how to cope with all of the changes that happened. And I think that, I wanted to get this song in for her before we maybe don't see her for the rest of this book, kind of. Just this felt like a closing.
So I feel like
I have to give this song to Calypso before we might not see her, you know?
I feel like we might get one more, like, we're obviously, they're like, oh, we have to go on this mission, so we won't be able to protect the way station. They're obviously going to come back before that battle is over. Like, this feels so clear to me. And I feel like we'll get, like, one, like, big magic moment from her. But, like, that, I feel like that's
fit. Yeah, exactly. And that wouldn't fit the song. So the song just has to get in there for her beforehand.
That's fair. See, this week I had absolutely no reason for my song choice, because I think my brain like broke somehow, and I have absolutely no idea what to make of these chapters. I very much enjoyed reading them, but like, I have no idea what to make of them. And so I chose Midnight Train to Georgia because somehow it felt right. I just feel like Emmy and Joe would love that song.
They probably would. You're right.
Yeah. That was the only inspo, though.
It feels like a song that everyone in the way station, like, late at night after hanging
like
out.
Like, making dinner.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Man. On that midnight train to Georgia.
Living on a midnight train.
What were our favorite parts of these chapters?
Well, this is where I get my sass moment from. So, spoiler, I guess. But I think the Era of Dodona maybe had her best chapters here. So funny. So funny.
I'd agree. Was really on it. I was really enjoying the whole Apollo flirting section.
Yeah.
And then that just ends in when he's like, oh, and I have a girlfriend. And then Apollo's like, damn. And just like walks away.
Yeah, that was good too.
He's just like, hi, I'm Apollo. You. Oh, you have a girlfriend? Bye.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah. It was very funny how like rejection didn't, or like the non-success of that pursuit didn't really like affect
it a little, but
he was like damn it. Aww. The way that he was like sad, he was just like, oh well, I would have gotten there.
Yeah.
You know? I thought these chapters were so interesting, just like the domesticity of like them all doing chores when this like impending battle is coming.
Yeah.
I thought that was very sweet. I also like in these set of chapters for some reason realized like when they were talking about how like the demigods they had rescued from the prison like had been at the way station before, I was like, this actually fills a hole that when I was a child reading the original series, I was like, what if they can't get to the East Coast? Are they just fucking dead? Like what happened?
And we got found out the West Coast.
Yeah.
But like America.
I was like, Middle America. Like, what do they do if they just can't make it to either of those places? And now it makes sense. They go here.
Yeah.
And like, still, there's still a lot of America. Like, the thing we fail to consider, especially because the first book, they go cross country incredibly quickly. How hard it is to get around America.
No, literally.
It's big.
Build more trains.
I know. Build more trains.
This moment to talk about how we should build more trains. But anyway.
Improve the public transit system.
Literally.
Real.
But like that just like filled in a little. I was like, oh, what a good way to fill in a plot hole that I've been wondering about since I was like 10.
Yeah.
Like what happens if they can't make it to Long Island? Like Long Island's pretty far in the Northeast.
And the thing that I do think is nice about the way it works here is it implies there may be other things like that.
Yeah.
About that, like, the way station is kind of maybe, like, one of these places that Artemis has set up. And I also like that the whole thing is, like, Artemis been working overtime behind everyone else's back.
Yeah.
Setting up social services for demigods.
Literally.
Of course she did.
Oh, my God. That's so true. But, yeah, it was... I don't know why that, like... section of the chapters just made me realize like, oh my god, this makes so much sense now. But the whole overall moment was sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was another set of chapters that was like real mishmash.
Exactly. Yes. I was like, I don't know what to do with these in my brain.
We were like, jumping.
I couldn't synthesize any of the information. But I really also liked the little bit about the piano lessons where Meg was like, could you
just that was piano? So sweet. Oh.
And he goes, and Apollo goes, and I realized that she was asking me, not telling me. And I was like, oh, like I had to go.
It was so sweet. It was very cute.
No, I loved it. I loved getting even more development with their relationship and really cementing the big brother, little sister thing and making it textual, yeah. I think was really important. And yeah. I think really helped. Because that's easy that they have such that dynamic and then just naming it, I think. Yeah. I really enjoyed that.
It was so sweet.
Yeah.
Do we want to take a break and then come back to talk about our theme?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, absolution. What do we think? I mean, let's go to the first place. Obviously, Letircia's. This is fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
And I really like this plot line.
Yeah, I think it's cool. Do you want to... Okay, actually, I'm not gonna say anything for a second because I just keep imagining Letircia as this specific actor, but I have to find, I don't know what his name is, so I have to find him.
Anyways, I think it's really interesting how we've never really gotten this plot line before in any of these books, the like redeemed villain. Like sure. we've had like sympathetic villains here and there, and like Luke I guess redeems himself at the end. That's different.
Not really though. Yeah, and also like moments,
yeah, like that's like, yeah, and he dies, but we've never had the like, this is such a trope in genre storytelling that these books have never really dived into, so
yeah,
I'll be really disappointed if Lit doesn't stick around into the next book and like longer and like actually have a like relationship develop with Apollo.
Yeah.
Because I'm so interested in what that means.
Yeah. I agree. It's this actor, by the way. His name is Drew Starkey.
From?
Outer Banks. If you have all watched Outer Banks, he plays Wraith. I don't know why. Every time that man opens his mouth in this book, I'm like, it's this actor. But anyways...
No, Lit is hotter than that.
Oh, I forgot that he's canonically
hot. Really think
he's canonically hot.
Yeah, but some people really think. I'm not like, he's super cute. Hot.
That's like, okay. That boy is cute.
Okay.
He's not hot. I don't know who I can picture Lit. I don't even know if I have a like,
if there's
touchstone.
I don't know why it really just. Maybe it's the Outer Banks character, but the Outer Banks character is fully evil, like does not get a redemption, like murders people. So I think that it's not that. I don't know why he just so much reminds me of like, it's this actor. But anyways, yeah, I think it's interesting that we've never fully had, and it would be like, oh, it would just be disappointing if this doesn't like flesh into a bigger thing or if it like backfires, like that'd be so boring because like, I would honestly want to hear more like of Lit's experience and like the like turmoil he's going through. Yes,
because he like he came back to life. He's this demigod, son of Midas. He has an interesting backstory. He's an out of time person too, kind of like Calypso and Apollo, and I feel like they have a lot to talk about there.
Yeah. And if he just goes back to being evil, that'll be sad.
I figured out, I know who I think Lit looks like. Give me a minute. Let me figure out his name. Y'all remember the Disney XD show Kickin' It?
Of course I remember Kickin' It.
Of course.
What's the actor's name? Oh, Leo Howard.
You're so right.
Oh. Jack from Kickin' It.
Stop. Oh,
that's
my
exactly
God.
What he looks like. You can fight me on this. Like, especially like him older. Yeah. He's also in other stuff.
Sort of.
Let me see if I have another reference touch point for people who aren't our specific age, because Kickin' It was very much on.
Yeah.
Exactly for our time. He was in G.I. Joe Rise of the Cobra in 2009 as young Snake Eyes. I don't think that's anyone's touch point for him. He was in something where he was like, was weird.
He was in something.
I'm sure.
No, like he was in something new that I was like, oh, this is weird that you're here. I can't remember what that is. Oh, well. Probably not that important, frankly. Just sometimes those old Disney actors show up on shows and you're like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
Oh, well. He was in Why Women Kill.
Oh, wow.
No, Legacies. He was on Legacies.
TikTok.
He was on Legacies, which is the show that I did not watch, but was aware of.
That show is all over TikTok.
I really want
to buy Women Kill. It looks good.
It does.
It's
TikTok wants everyone to watch it. They upload a clip every single day to TikTok.
What's her name? The actress. She looks kind of like Melanie Lynskey, but isn't. She has really specific eyes. She's in everything. She's a character actress. She's in Why Women Kill. She's like the lead of Why Women Kill.
Jennifer Goodwin?
No.
Lucy Liu?
Nope. The last one. Allison Tolman.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
You know her from being in everything.
Oh my God. I didn't know Lana Faria was in this. What the fuck? That's so cool. I love her. My Once Upon a Time era. Oh my God. Miss Annabeth herself is in this?
Alexandra Daddario?
Yes.
What? Wow. I didn't know that.
Alexandra Daddario has worked a lot more than I thought she did, is what I found out in my adult life.
Yeah.
I know. She's booked and blessed.
Like, she is on New Girl.
Oh my God. Wait, Rachel Bay Jones is in this? What?
It is like a stacked cast of people who don't work anywhere else.
I was going to say, this is stacked in a very specific way where it's like, what? You? I didn't even know you existed in the same universe as you.
It was like, I guess this is the only thing Jennifer Goodwin and Lana Faria have done since
Once Upon a Time. I know. And
no,
I honestly,
I'm sure those actors got money.
Oh yeah.
That show was on forever.
Yeah.
Can we talk about the fact that that show had spin-offs? Supported spin-offs. Once Upon a Time in Wonderland.
In Wonderland, yes.
That is literally, I have never heard of it. No.
I was in deep.
It was about Alice and like Aladdin for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah. It only ran for what, 2 seasons?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe it made it past one. I watched all that content. I watched Once Upon a Time up through the end.
Oh.
And most people did not watch that last season.
I was so obsessed with it, but I did fall off before the last season because I was like, this is disappointing me so bad.
It was weird. I actually don't even know if I finished the last season. I may have gotten up to like the last couple episodes. Oh well, it was a weird show. Weird show. Anyways, Jack from Kickin' It is how I picture Lit. Look up Leo Howard, you'll understand. And that plot line is interesting.
Indeed, it is.
The even more interesting, though, the conversation between Emmy and Apollo.
No, actually, so interesting.
Real.
I was kind of floored when she asked that.
I know.
Only because, like, it makes so much sense for her concern to be like, oh, was this a punishment from you? Because I was like, why exactly are they so upset? And it makes so much sense, but I didn't see it coming because I also don't have the perspective of a parent too.
Yeah.
And it felt very real to me in a way that I wasn't expecting, in a way that was also kind of dark.
Kind of.
In a way that felt much more serious and adult than these conversations normally get in these books.
Yeah.
Textually. The subtext is always very.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of this podcast. Where else do we see Absolution?
I hope it picked up you opening that sounds like, you know, it was just a small little. No, that conversation was such an interesting read, just because, like, I also felt like Apollo's reaction to being asked that was, like, kind of surprisingly flippant. Not in a, like, super, like, he was obviously like, I would never do that. But then goes through all the ways of, like, I kind of get why you think I would do that.
Yeah.
And seems to just dismiss, and it's for comedic effect, but I was like, this is crazy to, like, roll through all of these things you did as, like, you know, an immortal being that, like, had a very different mindset than the one that you're in right now. But, like, I don't know. It was crazy to watch him just be like, well, I know that I've been a monster and punish people in crazier ways before.
But I would never do that. I would
do that to you. What do you mean? Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But it also makes sense in a way.
Yeah.
Just in, like, how we've conceived of gods in this reality is, like, they have a very different concept of morality, but they do have one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very clear that they do have one because we're told there is a difference between gods and monsters. There are questions there, but, like, seeing where the gods are drawing the lines is interesting. And it seems very individual too, between the gods too. Like, there are clearly gods who are not above punishing children.
Yeah. Yeah. And using children as pawns to affect other people.
Yeah.
So it was interesting.
Yeah.
I also think we touched upon it earlier, the car scene and the piano stuff with Meg and Apollo reads like an apology.
It does. I agree.
And there's some forgiveness in Meg's asking and not ordering that is really key. And that's, I think, why I appreciated that scene so much.
Yeah.
And that's why it really feels like a sibling relationship, because they're not having this long conversation about, like, what happened, but they're like that active decision to move on and forgive felt really sibling-like to me. And also, I really enjoyed it.
It was very sweet. And yeah, I definitely saw like sibling relationships never have these like deep talks or anything. So that makes a lot of sense. Or at least they typically don't.
Yeah.
Unless things have gotten like
crazy, but like you're like, we don't need to like talk about this, like, fine, like, I forgive you, like, whatever,
you're just gonna teach me piano.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, very sweet.
Any other specific thoughts about these chapters, or do we want to jump to sass moments?
I have to talk about the endangered animals.
Oh, like, yeah, the endangered animals.
Yeah.
Anything to do with, like, forgiveness or anything.
And it was not a favorite point, but it was something striking.
Something interesting. I guess you can kind of, like, they are... just the fact that, again, Artemis is doing everything. Artemis is running the human services department of, like, godly affairs. Yeah. Is like, well, they're endangered because people are forgetting about them. So you can't kill them because they're respawning less. But they are monsters. It was so
interesting. It was an interesting continuation of hammering home the themes.
Yeah. Yeah. It just, I had to bring it up because it was just so funny to me. Not like funny, haha, funny, weird. Like, it's just like, that's so interesting that like someone's paying attention to how often specific monsters are responding.
Paying attention to a lot, huh?
Literally, how is she like, how is she keeping all the balls in the air? Like, this girl is single-handedly.
She is. She's an icon.
Yeah.
Icon legend
star. Icon legend star. But I thought that was an interesting concept just because, like, I mean, at any other point in the book, or in any of these books, they're like, just kill these monsters immediately. They have to get out of here. And this is the first time that it's like, maybe we're paying attention to, like, the godly ecosystem that's happening around us. Crazy. Yeah.
Especially because the rest of this book deals a lot with, like, animal abuse and zoos and those concepts that like conservation mindset in opposition to commodus and the commodification of animals. Sass moments.
Oh, let's go. I have it right here.
I have such a fear that you picked the same one I did.
Oh, well, it's likely. alas, at present, my only advisor was stuck in the quiver on my back. Reluctantly, I pulled out the arrow of Dodona and set it on the table. The shaft of the arrow rattled against the table. Long hast thou kept me quivered. Verily, thy levels of stupid astound me. Have you ever wondered, I asked, why you have no friends? Untrue, said the arrow. Each branch of Dodona's sacred grove, each twig and root, to all of these, I am most dear. Comedy! It's so good.
Untrue.
Untrue.
I also picked an Arrow of Dodona moment, but a different one.
Word.
Fantastic, I said. I don't suppose this. I mean, suppose your Wikipedia article has more information about these unkillable guardians. Thou dost jape like a japing japer.
I love it.
The second I read that, I went, oh, yep, there it is. That's my moment. It's right there.
That was me with Untrue. Because Untrue read like, I mean, we've all seen the Barbie movie. It read to me like sublime. And I got really,
very similar vibes.
Untrue.
Mine is a Leo moment. I forgot to screenshot the part before it. But basically, Calypso is like, yeah, of course, we're going to defend this place to the death. Leo raised his visor. Absolutely. Though I've already done the whole dying thing, so I'd prefer to fight to someone else's death. For instance, Commode Man's Leo Calypso Worm. Yeah, we're in. Leo's funny. He also did fucking die, which just, I kind of forgot.
I think, we kind of moved on from him dying.
It was a reminder, like, oh, you did die. And now you're back at it. No rest.
Back at it again with the death.
All right.
Who are our offerings for? I gotta go with Artemis.
Yeah, that makes sense.
She is sustaining entire departments.
She's keeping it pushing.
Of the government on her own.
Yeah.
Calypso. I don't know. Yeah. She was just... Okay. I had so much sympathy for her these chapters.
Now that you said that, I will go with Emmy.
Yeah.
So that was my debate. But now we're here.
But now we're here.
And then who doth we be voting off?
I should have given my offering to the arrow, but Calypso deserves it.
I did particularly.
I know this is hard.
I feel like when in doubt, go Nero.
Yeah, but like he wasn't really relevant.
He wasn't relevant at all.
They got pulled over, so I'm just gonna go ACAB and vote off cops.
That's funny. Humidity.
Ugh, Brielle.
They probably have to deal with it too.
I almost feel like I should double also vote out humidity. It's been brutal.
It's so fucking rough.
It's so humid where we live.
It needs to be fall.
It needs to be fall. It
does need to be fall.
I'll also do humidity, actually.
You're gonna switch to humidity?
Just because no one's really doing bad. Like,
yeah.
Particularly.
Yeah. Fair enough. Oop, I almost made it 12 votes off for humidity.
Appropriate. I mean, Rick didn't do great. They were a little disjointed, but it wasn't worth a vote off.
Yeah, no, yeah. Well, with that out of the way, I guess that's all we have for you this week. Join us next week where we'll be discussing
chapters 33 through 36.
Make sure to follow us on social media. We are at Return to Camp on every platform that matters. And we also have a Ko-fi account and a Redbubble store and a website, www.returntocamp.com.
Bye.
Thanks.
Goodbye.
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 Have a good night.
Have a cool.
No one understands what I'm saying.